Morning. I want to share with you a lesson that's come to mean a lot to me over the last 6 months. It's still coming to mean a lot to me, I guess, which is good. There's been some, obviously, a great deal of uncertainty introduced into our lives over the last 6 months. And it can begin to feel like there's nothing that's stable. Nothing that's absolute, nothing that's solid. Nothing is set in stone or predictable. We don't make plans past a week because it probably won't happen. We come to expect that things will not happen without a significant amount of modifications and adjustments that were rarely needed before. When things are like this, we need to be able to keep track of exactly what is solid, what is unchangeable, what is predictable. We need to get grounded. To identify where there is a rock-solid ground that we can stand on when it seems so much as shifting sand under our feet. Which reminds me of Luke 6, starting verse 47, when Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock." We're going to take a look this morning at this rock. What is rock solid and does not change? What can we depend on at all times? And as we identify this rock, you'll notice that its characteristics require a response from us if we're going to benefit from the stability. It requires us to dig deep, to lay the foundation, as Jesus said there in Luke 6. Hopefully the people online can see some of that. God is the rock. God is the rock. But what about God makes him the rock? And we're going to take a look at that this morning. Number one, what makes God the rock is that he is unique. How can I know if I've got the rock? Well, because there's only one. There's only one. Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Mark 12, verse 29. Paul says in Ephesians 4, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There's only one. Imagine for a moment, most of us are kind of familiar with that. Most of us are kind of used to that. Can you imagine for a moment being from a background or a situation where there was many gods? While you're trying to please one, you're irritating the other one. And while you're trying to please him, you're irritating another one. What a blessing it is that there is only one. That there is only one. Because of that, it requires a response from us. Ephesians 4, starting verse 1, says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So because there is only one God, we are to hear him, walk with him in meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, and striving for the unity of the Spirit, because there is only one rock. Number two. God is our creator, and he is a revealer. He is a creator and a revealer. Where does this rock come from? Who is he? Paul says in Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now this is talking about someone who didn't do this, but the opposite is true for us. He is our creator. He has shown us himself, and our response is
to glorify him.
Right? Our response is to glorify him. And he continued to reveal himself even more after the creation. Paul says in Romans 1, starting verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. John 14:9, Jesus tells Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. God is not only our creator, God is not only one God, but he's revealed himself to us. Doesn't do much good to have a rock if you don't know what it is. He has revealed himself to us. And our response is to believe. So we know where he came from. We know he showed himself to us. But what can I depend on him to do for me? How does that make him a rock for me? Now, today. Well, God, our rock, is a provider. In Matthew 6:31, Jesus says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this God is not only a rock, he's not only one, he's solid, but he provides. And our response to him, because he provides, is to what? Seek him. Request what we need, right? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Trust him. Number 4, God our rock claims us. Christ said, whoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Luke 12:8-9. Christ claims us if we claim him. That's our response. He claims us. He claims us as his sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So this rock is not an indifferent, passive stone. This rock claims us as his sons and daughters. And our response to that is that we separate ourselves from sin. Number five, God our rock is a loyal helper. In Hebrews 13, starting in verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Will not forsake you. Will not leave you, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper."
So our response?
We proclaim him as our helper. That's our response to him, being loyal to us. Never will forsake us. I think it was, I don't have the scripture down, but I think it was David that said, "I was young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen his children forsaken," or his children, something to that effect, or his children begging bread. Again, David proclaiming God as his helper. Our God, the rock, is stable and predictable. Numbers 23, starting in verse 19, says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" If God says something, that's what's going to be. It will be done. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord had promised Abraham and his descendants things, and that's why he had not destroyed them at this time in Malachi, because he had made that promise. God does not break his promises. James 1, starting verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." No variableness, no shadow of turning. He's not going to be shaky. He's not going to move around on you. You know what to expect. You can predict him. So our response? Is to depend on him. Because he is stable and predictable, our response is to depend completely on him only. Number seven, God our rock is a rewarder. A rewarder. In Ezekiel 18 and 23, the Lord told Ezekiel, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and 4 that Christ desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Christ says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. So he is a rewarder. This rock is a rewarder. He promises you that you seek him, you'll find him. You'll find him.
So our response
is to seek him. If we didn't know we could find him, we didn't know if we could find him, why would you seek? No, he promises. He promises. If you seek me, you'll find me. Guaranteed.
I'm running out of room here.
Number 8. Our God, our rock, is a chastener. When I'm being corrected by him, is my relationship with him unstable? Does this mean he's not the rock anymore? Is his love for me gone? Hebrews 12, starting verse 5, says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Lord the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." So God is a chastener. Does that mean he's not a rock? No. It does mean he's a rock. And our response is to endure it. Endure it, knowing it's coming from love. Because he is chastening us as a son or a daughter. So does him chastening provide me any stability? Well, because I tend to wander off the rock. I keep sliding. I keep wandering off the rock. And I need nudge back into the center. Back to the stability. Because he doesn't want me to become unstable. So he is stable, he's dependable, he's loyal, he cares for me. But I fail constantly. I fail constantly in my response to him. So does that mean that my salvation is unstable? The answer to that is no. Because our rock is a forgiver. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and it will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." 1 John 1 and 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God, our rock, is a forgiver.
And our response, because he
is to confess them. So that's about being on a rock. But there's danger out there. There's danger out there. How do I know I'll make it through? He's our defender. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. John says in 1 John 4, starting in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Is there danger? Yes. But you've got a defender that's greater than that danger. Psalms 91, starting in verse 2 through 6, and then verse 9. David says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." So because he is a defender, I make him my habitation. To dwell with him. James 4 and 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Number 11. God our rock is a crowner. He is a crowner. In Revelation 2, verse 10, the angel told the church at Smyrna, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." James 1, verse 12, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." A crown of life. He's a crowner. He is a crowner. Our response? Is to remain faithful. Last one. God, our rock, is a victor. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 55. Paul says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Here's our response. "Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." No. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So who is our rock? Where does our stability come from? Does it come from our plans? Does it come from our power, from our control? No, it comes from the one true God and our relationship with him. God doesn't want us to be afraid, and there's been lots of fear recently. He doesn't want us to be unstable. He doesn't want us to be lost and confused. He doesn't want us to be in despair. If you don't have peace, then it's probably because of one of those things, or several. Either you have not recognized your rock, or you haven't responded. Because that's where the peace comes from. When I'm not at peace, it's because one of those is messed up. And it isn't God. If you don't have a relationship with God, or if something's got between you and God. He wants to spare you the turmoil and the agony of the insecurity, the hopelessness, the despair. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your rock so badly that he gave his son that we just remembered just a minute ago, so that he could be your rock. And he is ready if you're willing. We'll have the invitation.